Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I'm so happy you're here. I'm going to be talking today about ADHD and ADD in adults, how it impacts relationships and that marriage bond, and what you can do to overcome the challenges that ADHD and ADD bring, how to break free from those patterns. Throughout this audio, I refer to ADHD and ADD. ADHD is the official medical term for the condition. ADD is a type of ADHD that doesn't involve the constant movement and fidgeting. However, they're quite similar. You will hear me say ADD and ADHD throughout this audio, just so it's inclusive for those people that identify with ADD or with ADHD. Maintaining a successful and thriving relationship can be difficult at the best of times, but when you have to take in other factors like an ADHD, ADD, it can become a lot harder. As a relationship counsellor, hypnotherapist, and breakthrough life coach, I regularly see clients online and in Dubai who find that they are struggling with certain areas of their relationship. And when we look a little bit deeper, there's an underlying factor that's causing a rift in their connection, which is ADD symptoms, ADHD symptoms. And this can often be misunderstood. So today in this episode, I'm going to be talking about the symptoms, what to do if you have ADD and ADHD, and then what to do to support your loved one if you're in a relationship with someone displaying these symptoms. So Dr. Gabor Maté, I absolutely adore him. I have all of his books, done all of his training, watched all of his videos, highly recommend. His research offers groundbreaking and a really optimistic perspective, which I adopt with all of the work that I do. And he says that this condition is often misunderstood. It's not a disease, and it's not hereditary. It's a problem of brain development in the context of a stress society, often early stresses in childhood. And it's common to assume that these so-called disorders, which I don't like, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, when I say ADHD and ADD, are diagnosed in children. Now, that's often a common misconception because there are so many adults that are getting diagnosed. And a lot of people don't realise until they do reach their adulthood that they are displaying certain signs. So in this episode, I'm going to explore how ADHD can present itself in adults, how it can affect a relationship, tips on supporting yourself or your partner with ADHD and ADD, and what to look out for if you feel your partner may have this. So research has shown that there are around 4.4% of adults in the US that have been diagnosed with ADHD. However, this number is often much higher because some of the symptoms that are present can either be milder than in children or they go undiagnosed. Even if the symptoms are milder in adulthood, they can still affect how a person functions with daily tasks. For example, they may struggle to pay attention, they may act impulsively, they make rash decisions on important things. And this would impact the way that they work, how they interact with their loved ones, and how they lead their lives. Also, which I'll explore a bit later, is that Dr. Gabor Maté found that nearly every case of ADHD and ADD have symptoms of low self-esteem and low self-confidence, which is definitely, of course, the core of what I work on to help someone when we're looking at breaking free, as well as more functional aspects. So these are the most common symptoms of ADHD: acting impulsively without consulting others, being really disorganized, difficulty focusing on tasks, poor time management skills, keeping busy and feeling restless if staying still, not able to multitask, gets frustrated or angrily really quickly, frequent mood swings, struggles to follow through on decisions, struggles to follow through on tasks, can't handle stress well, lacks social constructs, like interrupting when others are having a conversation, switching off when others are having a conversation. Had a couple recently that I supported who the lady would just kind of walk off in the middle of a conversation, get bored very quickly, and there can be generally a lot of untidiness, and it can also be associated with anxiety and symptoms of depression as well. So even though that list that I've just given you, some of us may experience one or more of these at any point in our lives, it's the persistent symptoms of this that can affect a person from carrying out simple daily tasks and make it difficult for them to have thriving lives, thriving families, thriving relationships, because these habits get in the way. So I've worked with people who come with me for breakthrough life coaching, which is basically an intensive 3 days online or in person. And we literally get right to the root and really change the way that their mind is working. We can reprogram the mind, we can give ourselves a mind reboot. And that's exactly what I help people to do, because I realise that there's often a lot of limiting decisions that we can make earlier on in life that limit us. And this can be with people with ADHD or people without ADHD, where we decide, I'm not worthy of love, I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, I'm lazy, I'm a procrastinator, I can't handle daily life. You know, any decisions that we make become, unfortunately, self-fulfilling prophecies, because once we've made that decision in our mind, we believe it, we're going to act like that's true, and then we're going to get those results. We're going to put in less effort. We're going to lose hope in ourselves. You know, a few of the people I've done recently with these breakthrough intensives that have ADD or ADHD, they will share with me that they feel broken, that they feel they can't cope with life, that they're never gonna make it, you know, all deep, deep beliefs that they're not aware of consciously, but when we dig deeper to look at, right, how are we gonna change this, it becomes that deeper core belief that they're not good enough, they're not deserving the happiness, the success, the fortune, the relationship that they have. And so they sabotage themselves. And what I also find is a lot of cycles, great success, and then they lose it. Great relationship, lose it. Great happiness, lose it. And often that's because that underlying belief, this is not me, I'm not successful, I don't deserve this kind of thing. And this can happen with people with, you know, without ADHD. These cycles in life can really affect us. Often the reason that people go undiagnosed is because they feel that it's connected to other conditions. So I mentioned earlier, it's often connected with anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and it's quite common for people with ADHD or ADD to be put under one of those labels rather than ADHD or ADD. According to the studies, around 5 to 47% of adults with ADHD present have bipolar disorder, and roughly one-fifth to one-half of the adults with ADHD have a major depressive disorder. And it's really difficult to know. It's that chicken and egg. Is it that they have depression and that's causing these symptoms, or these symptoms are then causing them to feel depressed because they're not achieving their goals, they're not fulfilling their life purpose or living to their full potential? Around 50% of adults with ADHD have some type of anxiety, and 50% of adults have some personality disorder with ADHD, according to the statistics. But as I said, I really don't like the word anxiety disorder, personality disorder. It's just literally a habit, a pattern, a way that the brain has been operating, and it can be reversed. It can be reversed quickly. Everything we learn is at the unconscious level. For example, driving a car, when you first got in your car, you had to consciously pay attention to everything, remind yourself, look at the mirrors, put the gear into go, put your foot on the pedals, steer the steering wheel, look left, right, you know, all of that. It was really hard learning to drive a car, and it was absolutely exhausting the first times you began driving. And then after a while, now it's absolutely automatic. And how long did it take? Some people it took 2 hours, some people it took 10 hours. But once you learn it, it goes into the subconscious mind and then you never need to learn it again. And that's what we can do. We can create new changes quickly, you learn them, and then they become the way that you operate, the way that you live out your life. So let's talk about relationships and ADHD. So being in a relationship with someone with these symptoms and other mental health conditions that I've mentioned, it can really test your love and connection to one another. If you're married or in a relationship with someone and you or they are having symptoms of ADHD, the symptoms that I mentioned earlier, the impulsiveness, the disorganization, the lateness, the lack of discipline in certain areas of their life, it can be a challenge because you may be arguing over the household tasks, you may be arguing over sex, you may be arguing over what you may perceive as selfishness and things like that. And this can lead to constant nagging, which they see as constant complaining. And of course, that's going to kill the passion, the sexual chemistry, that loving bond. And it can be a huge weight. It can be a huge weight for the person on the receiving end of the complaining and the nagging. It can be a huge weight on the person feeling like they are unloved because of the symptoms. And it can also change the dynamic in the relationship where one person becomes a parent to the other one. And that doesn't feel good to anybody. It doesn't feel good to the person. They feel like, okay, you're like my dad, you're like my mum. Stop telling me off, I'm not a child. And the other person can feel like, I don't want to be like this. I want to see you as an equal. I want you to be my partner. I want you to take responsibility. I want you to look after me as well. I want to be looked after. I want to be loved. I want to feel cared for. So this is a bullet list now, a kind of thing, of what a partner supporting may experience. And this is what I help couples with. And I definitely recommend when I do help couples with this to do the individual work first and then come together and then let's do the couple work. Because if one person is suffering so much that it's affecting every area of their life and there is that parent-child relationship or there is a lack of focus, a lack of attention, low self-esteem coming into the play, it's always best to do the individual work first and jump straight to the relationship strengthening tools. Because the relationship strengthening tools that I give to couples and that I do with couples are very profound and have a deep impact, but not as deep as these kind of underlying individual habits, routines, and that self-esteem. So I always work individually first. So anyway, so a supporting partner may experience the following: constant nagging and frustration present in the household, that they are taking control of the house and that they're doing all the chores, attending to all the bills, taking on all the kind of like the paperwork responsibilities. That's very common. They become the responsible adult. They feel like they're looking after a child often and they're having to complete tasks and they're having to make sure that even if tasks they do give, they have to check up on and make sure they're done. The sexual relationship is often affected and they may begin to feel resentment towards their partner because one, they don't find this attractive, they don't find the behavior attractive, or they find that their partner is just not in the headspace to give them intimacy. And that can be very difficult as well. There can be constant arguing over seemingly small things, and yet they become the everyday occurrence. And they may start to emotionally check out. They may feel tired, frustrated, hopeless. They wonder, what am I getting in this relationship? I'm giving. What am I getting back in return? Which is a difficult place to be in. And once you start getting in that thought process, unless you change it, it can become quite toxic. It can really fill you with negativity, the relationship, the atmosphere at home with negativity. And they can often feel that they're not really loved, that they're feeling lonely and isolated. And they feel that they're not worth anything because they're not having the attention. And when I say not worth anything, I mean within the relationship, that they're not valued, that they're not given attention, that they're never a priority, that it's always about the other person. And that can lead them to feeling down themselves. And often they feel very tired. It's very draining to be thinking about how to fix a relationship, trying to fix a relationship, trying to be the motivated, upbeat, positive one. And sometimes when I work with them, they've completely lost all of that steam. And then the person that's been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD, they can experience, they just tune out of conversations. Sometimes they forget important information, which can really frustrate them. Of course, it frustrates the partner. They forget things. They may feel unloved and unworthy, constantly being complained at and nagged at. They may feel that their partner should just leave them and that they're not worthy of their love. They also may feel very frustrated. They can't understand why they're being treated so badly, and they just don't understand. They may wish to be constantly busy and try to be constantly busy and not understanding the importance of relaxing, and they're just on the go, 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 or they're sleeping and then they're go, 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 and then this causes stresses and overwhelmness. They may feel like mindfulness and meditation would never help them because it just doesn't work. They may find it hard to follow through and then get annoyed at themselves and begin to dislike themselves. They may put on weight because they just use food as a distraction, and emotionally, or fall into other habits to distract themselves, like shopping or drinking and other things. They may get overwhelmed very easily, which of course can have lots of repercussions. And they can be tired of being corrected. They can feel like they're being parented, patronized, and misunderstood. They can want to be alone, and yet they can be absolutely so scared of being alone. And they can also then, because of the label that has been given, sometimes blame everything on the ADHD, where they've heard or they've read online, this is you, this is it, and therefore they have no relief. They don't believe that they can change things, and they give up. And that's so sad. And there's a lot of research out there that says, oh, you know, you've heredited this, it's inherent in your genes, and therefore this is how you are. And actually, plenty of research shows that these are symptoms developed by stresses early on in life, sometimes later in life, that can be reversed. We can learn and unlearn anything quickly. And that's always the thing to hold in our minds. We can change phobias. People have phobias of spiders, they have vertigo, like all different things. And one hypnosis session, it can be completely reversed. Same with smoking. A lot of people smoke for 20 years, 25 years, and yet they can quit easily and effortlessly with a smoking hypnotherapy and be fine. So where is that behavior that they're never ever going to be able to change? We can change quickly, we can reframe things, and our body adjusts. Our body and our mind adjust really quickly, and that's the great thing. So I'm going to talk through some tips that can help couples when dealing with ADHD and to build a loving, thriving relationship. So the first thing is to get support. Understand that treatment without medication is possible, and it's not an inherited condition. I really believe in the work of Dr. Gábor Maté. I've researched a lot of his work, and of course he's very well researched the area himself. And it originates in early childhood stresses during the first years of the crucial brain and personality development. Hence, change work to unravel family issues and issues of self-esteem is always important. So that's what I combine. So if you're going to find a good person to work with, make sure that they're doing that. And then also to complement this yourself, physical self-care, exercise, nutritious diets, good sleep, hygiene, outdoor activities are all very important as well. Mindfulness practices like meditation, whilst they can be challenging to a person with the ADD mind, it can also be very effective. And when I do the habit-changing hypnotherapies and meditations for people, I make them the length that they can tune out for. And I often do them so that they can listen to them just before they go to sleep, and where they don't have to pay attention, they can just literally lie there and absorb the words rather than having to sit up and concentrate. And when I do the intensive breakthrough sessions for people to get these lasting changes, I do it over 3 days, and I combine all of the techniques that Dr. Gabor Maté describes. So the next one is incorporating practical things to reduce the household chores being a burden on each other. Example can be just simply sitting down, writing down what are the household tasks, what are the car kind of maintenance tasks, what are the bills, and looking at what you can easily divide so that there's not the nagging or complaining, that one person takes charge of this and that's their thing. And often for the ADHD person, giving them tasks where there's not having to be a really tight deadline. Well, it can be flexible in that day, in a few days. You can also put reminders on your phone. I love WhatsApp, and a lot of the couples that I work with create WhatsApp groups between the husband and wife. They just put the things that need to be done in the WhatsApp group. They then don't have to have a conversation about it. There's no nagging about it. That can help. So that's a good thing. Really great communication. Checking in with each other regularly. Speaking to one another, you know, if you're only having negative, nagging, complaining conversations, of course, that's going to break the connection, the chemistry, and the intimacy. So having a great way to consistently connect, have fun, enjoy one another's company is really important. Scheduling in that date night, that couple time, once or twice a week, doesn't have to be going outside. Doesn't have to be expensive. It can be a date night inside. It can be having a bath together, massage, drink and a conversation, dinner together, whatever it is. But having time, doing things together in the house and outside of the house to build that connection, that is also very important. And also, if you are really feeling fed up with your partner and you are becoming a nag, and I mean that with love and compassion, but you do find yourself parenting, then find a way to relieve that burden. A couple that I recently worked with, they've decided to hire a cleaner. And the person with the ADHD is like, look, I'll pay for the cleaner. And this will make me feel good. And this will make you feel good. And let's just enjoy ourselves. And when the cleaner comes, they go out for a lovely breakfast and just enjoy each other's company. So it can be just like simple things. Is there any simple things you can do to help with you? Other people, they try like leaving visual cues around the house. Like they have a whiteboard. They have like post-it notes in different places as reminders. That can work for some people and things like that. And the most important thing is to make sure that you haven't given up hope in yourself. You haven't given up hope in the relationship. Remembering that all changes can be unlearned. All habits can be changed. All behaviors can be unlearned or relearned. And you are not the ADHD, the ADD. You know, this is not you. Another thing just to be aware of is that a lot of people do self-medicate to switch off with recreational drugs, medications, alcohol, sometimes food. So it's really good to make sure that you are looking after yourself in that way. Research has shown that people have lower levels of dopamine with ADHD, the happy hormone as it's called, and this can be one of the reasons why they get into other habits to boost their dopamine. And you want to go for healthy habits like exercise to do that as well. Boosting self-esteem is also very important for you both. Feeling good in your bodies, good in your environment, and good about yourself. Often people get confused and think that self-love, self-care is going to the salon, going and buying yourself a new outfit, getting your hair done. Of course, those are really lovely things to do, but they're not going to make you feel good on the inside 24/7. And that's where we need to look at, what do you think about yourself? What do you say to yourself? I used to, as I've shared probably in many other podcasts, before I had my breakthrough intensive that changed my life about 13 years ago, I used to wake up in the morning and I would just constantly be criticizing myself. I would be moaning at the way that I looked, telling myself that I was ugly, that I was fat, that I was useless. If I went out and enjoyed myself the next day, I'd be saying to myself, why did you say that? Why did you do that? I thought that everybody hated me in the office because I didn't like myself. And I was projecting that out. And I really felt that I'm not very likable. I was very disorganized. My desk was an absolute bomb at work. And my managers would be like, tidy up your desk. But for me, it worked, you know, craziness worked. But it just, I was suffering so much because I had these core beliefs that were affecting every area of my life, like I'm a pain. And because I felt like I'm a pain and it's not safe to be me, that was my deeper belief because of trauma in childhood, I then created situations in my life where I kept showing up and feeling like a pain. I didn't want to invoice my clients because I felt like I'm a pain. My relationship, I always felt in the way and felt like a pain. And I felt like a pain to my friends. I felt like a pain to my family. And when I work with people to do these breakthrough sessions, we just get right to the core decisions that they made about themselves. Core identity beliefs like, I'm a procrastinator, I'm a pain, I'm not good enough, I'm useless, I'm helpless, whatever it is. These core beliefs that we adopted through any things that happen in our life then become true for us, unfortunately. And unless we clear that at the subconscious level, it becomes that self-fulfilling prophecy where these events, because we're projecting that out into the world, just keep on coming up again and again and again and again. So it's really important to clear out any decisions that you've made at that deep level about yourself. And you may not even be aware of them. Most of the people that I work with, they come for relationship problems, or they notice patterns in their life where they're very financially successful, then they have a low, and then again, and have a low. Often there's a belief there that they don't deserve the wealth. They don't deserve to be happy. I have people that they're cheated on all the time in their relationships, and that's because they don't believe that they're worthy of someone trustworthy. Deep down they feel like, I don't deserve happiness, or I'm unlovable. You know, and once we clear that, the whole world changes around us, because all we have is our perception of the world. And when we project what we believe the world to be, what we believe people to be, it will show up. Often I work with a lot of people in relationship work and in the personal work that I do that believe that you can't trust anybody. They find it hard to trust. And guess what happens? They keep attracting people in all walks of their life that they cannot trust. And that makes it very difficult. So I'm just going to end today's episode on talking about hypnotherapy, which has been a really great technique to use for ADHD and ADD in adults, which I use. And hopefully this will help you consider hypnotherapy. It's very, very powerful. So a lot of research has shown that hypnotherapy can have a positive impact on adults that have a ADHD diagnosis. In fact, a study was carried out in the US for those that had chosen hypnotherapy as a treatment, and it found that it had far better results than talking therapy and CBT. So, you know, a trained hypnotherapist that has experience working with ADHD can be really beneficial. The clients that I support to change patterns with hypnotherapy, it benefits them in the following ways. It gives them a sense of control over their life, their thoughts, their behaviours. I've helped people break free from procrastination. It can help create self-belief, self-confidence, self-esteem, believing that they can change anything, because we can. We can change absolutely anything about ourselves if we decide to. We can break free from habits. We can become our best versions of ourselves. There's absolutely no reason. And once your unconscious mind and your conscious mind are working together, we can shift anything. It also gives the clients a chance to relax, a chance to give their mind a break. Often people with ADHD are constantly thinking, absorbing information, processing. It can be quite overwhelming. This gives them a really good time to just relax. I love to do my meditations around 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when my energy levels start to dip. I give myself a 20-minute refresh, doing a meditation, hypnotherapy for myself, full of positive words telling me that I deserve to be happy. I deserve to have a life free, to choose whatever I want to choose, that I'm loved, that I trust in life, I trust myself, I trust good things will happen, I focus on the positive, I focus on what I can control, and I feel amazing after. So that's when I do mine. Some people I create the hypnotherapies for, they do them just before bed. Other people do it just when they wake up to give them motivation to get out of bed and get everything done. So I hope that this audio has been useful to you. And if you would like to discuss my intensive personal breakthroughs or hypnotherapy with me, you can go to my website and you can book a free 20-minute consultation. During that call, we can just discuss where you are now and where you want to be, and you can decide at the end, do you like me? Do you like my process? Does it feel right for you? And are you ready to invest the time, energy, and money in yourself to make lasting changes? So from my heart to yours, wishing you a wonderful week ahead, and I look forward to joining you back again next week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.